The third hour of the radio program is underway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great with Lonzo and the ones and twos today. Should you wish to be a part of the broadcast today, now, this segment is a spectacular time to make that happen. The renewal by Anderson at the Carolinas fan phones open, 844-326-3663. The text line is open, 71307. Start your text with FAN. And the Twitter devices are currently working at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, or get at all of us at the Fan Upstate. The Fan Upstate. At the Fan Upstate. All of us collectively together as one. Did
not no, because if four of us were together as one on anything, that would be weird.
When your powers combine.
Oh no. Now I pictured us as Power Rangers.
Captain Planet, man, we're Planeteers.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'd rather be a Power Ranger.
I mean, everybody would. But the Planeteers were great.
Did they have a Pink Ranger?
No. Earth, Heart, Wind, Earth, Water, Wind, Fire, Heart. Right? Wasn't that it? Earth, Fire, Wind, Water, Heart. Yeah, that was it. Heart was the last one.
Yeah, so they didn't have a Pink Ranger, so I win. I'd rather be a Power Ranger.
I mean, if I got to hang out with Amy Jo Johnson, a.k.a. Kimberly, I will be whatever I need to hang out with Kimberly from the Power Rangers. For sure. Heartthrob, man. Heartthrob. But Kimberly, whenever we do our 90s girls on television, Kimberly never gets enough love. She just said, it's always, you know, Kelly Kapowski, Topanga, which, by the way, yes, it's always those women. It's never the Pink Ranger. And it should always be the Pink Ranger. Kimberly was top-notch, dude. Not only did she handle her own business, but she was a complete and total badass in the process all the time. Way up on the 90s TV girls power ranking goes the Pink Ranger. Hey, not that we're not going to save this for Fight Club on Thursday, but I can't stop thinking about it. Did we just watch Open Murder on Monday Night Raw last night? You can take it off if you need to, but
it wasn't on there. So but I had to check. Yeah.
Did we just watch straight up Homicide by a New Faction last night? Is that what wrestling did? It feels like that's what wrestling did. And I to be frank, still don't know how I feel about it, right? Because on one hand, I think with the departure of The Undertaker, the supernatural gimmicky stuff, I think you're going to have a real hard time making it work. Not to say that it can't, but I just think you're going to have a real hard time making it work. So unless there's going to be some supernatural gimmick to what happened last night, the entire gorilla position was just murdered on TV yesterday evening. How do you come back from that?
Well, they were doing really well, too. So, I mean, hopefully they have some recruits, some interns that they can bring up to replace them, because the show must go on.
Is that how they do it next week? They're like, yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to all of the people who were in Gorilla and were murdered by the Wyatt Six last night.
Here's
our new class.
Yeah, well, they rarely show Gorilla anyway. The only thing they have to explain is Chad Gable. That's the only thing they really have to explain.
Chad Gable had what appeared to be a bullet hole in his head. Now, granted, they're going to be able to write it off by saying it was something else, but they knew what they were going for there. My man, and by the way, a phenomenal series of events in the storyline of the Alpha Academy last night, all right? Like, really took some steps forward, and then they just murdered Chad Gable on television. I don't know how to tell you people how much I love professional wrestling. It's just the best. All right? It's just the best.
I'm telling you. I'm predicting this now. Chad Gable is number six.
I think six is Bray Wyatt. I think that was the whole play.
We don't see Chad Gable again. A new character shows up with a mask. It's him.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because there's no one more broken right now than Chad Gable.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what they say they're here for. I'm just, you know, we'll see.
I get it. But they, again, they just committed homicide on television.
Well, I mean, and McMahon's limo is blown up. I mean, there are so many times that things like this have happened. It's episodic TV, so, you know.
And again, I'm all in. And it just made next Monday once more must watch. I also love the fact, like, you got to play that angle because the from the stage all the way back to talent was just covered in fog, which means one of two things. Either Uncle Howdy is supernatural and he just generates that fog wherever he goes, A, or B, they also murdered the effects guy and they stole his fog machine, which is what I want to be the case.
Or Braun Strowman had a lot of beans from catering.
That big son of a... All right, wrestling, it's the best. Let's get back to some sports. Hey, Clemson fans, here's some football stuff for you. 24/7 Sports has put out their ACC football record projections for 2024. They did all the teams that will be playing under the banner this year. Dead last in the ACC, they believe Virginia will go 2-10, 0-8 on the season. Stanford, they believe, will go 3-9, 1-7 on the season. Boston College, 3-9, 1-7. Duke, 4-8, 1-7. Wake Forest, 5-7, 2-6. Pittsburgh, 5-7, 2-6. Cal, 6-6, 3-5. Cuse, 8-4, 4-4. Tech, 7-5, 5-3. Whoa! 7-5, 5-3. 7th, 8-4, 5-3 is Virginia Tech. 6th, North Carolina, 9-3, 5-3. SMU in 5th, 9-3, 6-2. In 4th place, they project NC State at 10-2 and 7-1. Lonzo, 3-2-1. You have left remaining Miami, Florida State, and Clemson. 24/7 has them projected to finish in what order?
See, I hate this because you always try to trick me. I'm going to go...
I will tell you that I read those three names in a random order.
Yeah, Florida State 1, Miami 2, Clemson 3.
That is exactly correct. They have Florida State winning the conference with an 11-1 schedule, and they believe they will go 8-0 in the conference. They give them wins over Tech, Boston College, Memphis, Cal, SMU, Clemson, Duke, Miami, North Carolina, Charleston, Southern, and Florida. Their only loss they have recorded is on the road at Notre Dame. Now, they do say Seminole fans should not discount the home game against Clemson and the trip to Miami. In second place, they have Miami at 11-1, 7-1 in conference. They have wins over Florida A&M, Ball State, Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, Cal, Louisville, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake, and Syracuse. They have one loss to Florida State. Clemson is the only of those three teams that they say will finish sub 11 wins. They say 10-2, 7-1. They have wins over Appalachian State, North Carolina State, Stanford, Wake, Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Pitt, the Citadel, and South Carolina. Their losses, Georgia and Florida State. Any issue with it? Any issue with 24/7 believing that Clemson will check in third in the ACC? And oh, by the way, if these records come to fruition, if Miami is 11-1, if FSU is 11-1, if Clemson is 10-2, I don't think Clemson would make the playoffs here.
By the way, I think 10-2 may be a little bit high. Where did Clemson finish last year?
Not 11-1. No, not 10-2.
I'm talking about in the conference. That would be third, right?
Yep.
Where did they finish the year before that? That would be third, right? So I don't think it's that much of a stretch.
In the ACC, last year, Clemson was, what were they? What did they end up in conference? 4-4? I mean, it wasn't great, right? So my thought here would be that, and this is why I go back to a couple of weeks ago, I would very much appreciate if Clemson fans would go ahead and list their definition of success for this year now. And this is the exact reason why. Because I think that there is this thought process that with a 12-team playoff, that it's just going to be easy to slip into the playoff rankings.
Yeah, they were 9-4 last year, 4-4 in conference.
Yeah. So I think that there is this new prevailing thought, and I do not think this is...
Before that, they were 11-3, so I was wrong about that, and they were 8-0 in conference.
I don't think that it is solely Clemson fans that have this thought process. But I think that there is this thought process that with 12 spots available in the playoff, we're just going to slip right in. I think there's a lot of SEC schools that feel that way. I think there's a handful of Big Ten schools that way. I think that there are a handful of schools inside of the Geico 12 that feel that way.
SEC and Big Ten should think that way. ACC should not. I mean, ACC should be worried about their number two team making it in.
I would almost agree to some point in that, yes, go ahead and somebody grab me the tinfoil cap. I absolutely do entirely believe that if you play in the Southeastern Conference or in the Big Ten Conference, I firmly believe that you will get a little boost in the rankings just by existing in that conference.
All right, who did Florida State beat in the ACC Championship last year?
Last year they beat North Carolina. How am I blanking on all of this?
I'm just thinking about last year. Okay, Ohio State loses to Michigan, and they were not in the Big Ten Championship, right?
Right.
So they.
But you still finish in a ranking spot.
Right. Ohio State lost one game at the end of the season to Michigan. What did the number two team in ACC?
Again, are we talking about who played in the title game or who was ranked where? Because
record's going to come into play.
It was Louisville, by the way, 10-2.
Yeah, so you got Ohio State or you got Louisville. Who you take? I mean, So Louisville was a runner-up in the ACC. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So you've got you're picking. Are you picking Louisville?
I don't know. Because
are you picking
the third
team in the Big Ten?
You're not necessarily going by who is runner-up in the conference title game, because if I have a 10-2 participant in the conference title game ranked, say, number 10, 10 sign up to
it's
you in.
It's still making the same point because ranking-wise, Ohio State, I'm sure, was ranked above LSU because they didn't consider the number two team in ACC to rank higher than the number three team in the Big Ten.
Dude, they didn't count the number one team in the ACC higher to rank than the number two team in the SEC.
We know that if the 12 team was in, Florida State would have been in last year.
The point here is, and I'm not even worried about that right now, the point here is, regardless of how you dive into all that, I think there's this thought, and this is why I said I want Clemson fans to make their idea of what they would define as success next season known is important. Because if it is make the 12-team playoff, I think you've got to call that shot now. I think that with the addition of the 12-team playoff, there is this now prevailing thought, and again, not exclusive to Clemson fans, though I do think Clemson fans have it, that it's going to be easy to get in, right? All we got to do is beat top 12, which, by the way, is not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. Not true, but not necessarily true. And the reason I have said I think it is important to label success now is because if, let's say, hypothetically, the 24/7 projections come true, Clemson finishes 10-2. I don't think that's good enough to get you in next year, right? I think there's this thought that, oh, you know, the regular season doesn't matter anymore with the expanded playoffs. My dudes in Dudettes, it very much does. It very much does. I don't think Clemson or, frankly, Florida State or Miami or anybody else, I don't think that these schools have the wiggle room that a lot of folks think that they do. I don't think that wiggle room is there. I think you, at best, in the power conferences, and when I say the power conferences, I mean the Southeastern Conference, I mean the Big Ten, I mean the Atlantic Coast Conference, and I mean the Geico 12. In the power conferences, I think you can have a loss and get in. A. In fact, I think that there is a chance that at least one school maybe has one loss in the regular season, has one loss to an undefeated conference champion in a championship game at the end of the year. And that second loss, that conference championship loss, might bump them out of that top 12. I don't think the wiggle room is there like we think it is. And if 24/7 sports projection of 10-2, 7-1 is what happens to Clemson, I don't think they're getting in after that. Shane asks, are you making a joke calling it the Geico 12? Yes. The Big 12 is selling off their naming rights. And as part of that deal, apparently they're going to drop the big and pick up a company name to replace it.
So you're not really joking. You're talking about reality.
I'm joking by using Geico as the sponsor because they just sponsor everything in college football. But no, I am not joking by calling it the corporate 12 because that's what they're going to be.
I hope it's Farmers.
Bum, 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 12s. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We talked about Hard Knocks in days, weeks, months gone by. I will say two things are true at the same time. Number one, I am a big fan of Hard Knocks. Number two, I have kind of fallen off Hard Knocks the last couple of years. It was a check-in here and there. It was an episode here or there. But it was not nearly the amount of time that I invested in the program when the program first came out. I genuinely loved Hard Knocks for a very long time. And then it kind of got to the point where, and I felt like you could feel the switch. It kind of felt like...
You don't need it anymore. You don't.
I mean, you don't need it, but it kind of felt to me like it started taking away from, even in the social media era, it started to take away from the stuff that the athletes won't post, the stuff that the teams won't post on social media. Like I said, I know that. I wouldn't use the word enjoy because I did not enjoy it, but I felt like it giving us a glimpse, for instance, into players getting cut or coaches sitting in their office preparing to call a guy down to the office to inform him that he was no longer on the team or whatever.
Can you imagine that happening here or any place of business and it being televised? Rob, we need you to come down to the office after the show. And, you know, the cameras are in there and everybody's watching as they tell you that, you're no longer with the company.
I cannot. But I can also tell you that there ain't 8 million people watching any given moment. The NFL, I don't think, in certain spots, in fact, I'm not even willing to say in certain spots, the NFL is not like anything that you or I or anyone listening will ever be active in or employed by. And I can say that with some level of definitiveness because of the fact of, for instance, this lawsuit that is going on right now. The fact that the NFL has certain legislative exemptions from the law that places like where you and I work don't. We don't have antitrust exemptions that let us get away with stuff that other legal entities are not allowed to get away with because of the fact that that is true. We can say with some level of definitiveness that the NFL is not like our jobs. I hope I get to the point one day where I turn on a camera every morning and there's 8 million people that tune in. But realistically speaking, that's never going to be the case. So
with that kind of attitude, you're right.
No, it's just not. Dan Patrick doesn't have that audience. And I think Dan Patrick's one of the best to ever do it. Rich Eisen doesn't have that reach. One of the best to ever do it. Jim Rome, the godfather of sports talk radio by many, doesn't have that level of reach. It's just not realistic. The NFL does. The NFL has easy that number tuning in. So it's just a different caliber. And I thought, and still do, that if for no other reason, the appreciation of these athletes, these coaches, whatever, by us as fans, at least in the initial run of Hard Knocks, was elevated by the show. And then they kind of started getting away from that stuff. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched enough in the last couple of years to be able to say that that's not the case. But when I bailed out of Hard Knocks, the reason I bailed out was largely because it got to the point where they weren't really giving me anything that I felt like I couldn't get anywhere else. And when that became the case, I'm not going to go out of my way. But we have Hard Knocks off season now. That's the Bears. I am going to tell you, I am going to be following this one. And I'm going to be following this one because of Caleb Williams. Because I think that as good as I think Caleb Williams can be, again, I'm not as high on him as a lot of draft experts are. I'm not as low on him as a lot of the fans are. But I do think that Caleb Williams, like every other rookie, is going to go through a pretty gnarly learning curve when it comes to figuring out the ropes in the National Football League. And I'm intrigued to see that play out, even if I don't get to see all of the gruesome details about an offseason football program. Yesterday, it got announced that we will have another edition of in-season Hard Knocks. And it will not be a team that they follow. They'll be following an entire conference. According to the release yesterday from the NFL, the 18-time Emmy Award-winning series will feature the Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, let's go with this. They could not have picked a more interesting division to follow this year. That is a division that had all four teams rack up 10 wins last year. It's a good division. it might arguably be the best division in football this year. And then look at the teams. You got the Baltimore Ravens under Lamar Jackson. You got the Baltimore Ravens, a team that has gotten so close but has not been able to push themselves over the hump the last couple of years. They added Derrick Henry, one of the most intriguing names in the NFL free agency pool this year. Is that enough to push him over? Is that enough to get Lamar to the promised land? We'll find out. You got the Cincinnati Bengals. Joey B missed most of last season with an injury. Last week, he was talking about struggling with his football mortality, which kind of stinks from a guy that is, you know, 27, 13 damn years younger than I am. That kind of stinks a little, but whatever. You got the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson trying to come back, trying to reestablish himself, trying to prove that he deserves to be one of only three quarterbacks in the league that has a $50 million annual contract in his possession. And then, of course, there's all the other stuff, too. And, of course, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't even need to get into the drama surrounding Pittsburgh. They just signed a three-year contract extension to Mike Tomlin, a man who has never had a losing season, yet the fans seem to be ready to move on from him. You've got the quarterback battle that will happen between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and the fact that somebody gonna get their feelings hurt at some point sooner rather than later, if not both of them over the course of the year. It is super intriguing, and I got to tell you, for the first time in the last couple of years, great one, I'm actually kind of in on both editions of Hard Knocks this year, in and off season.
Well, I'm interested in Pittsburgh. I definitely want to see that and see if there's tension between Justin Fields and the other guy. And also, I'm interested to see if Joe Burrow is a jerk.
Why would you think he's a jerk?
I love Joe Burrow, by the way, but he seems like he's kind of arrogant. And there's a reason why the receivers kind of act like they wanted out of there. And it may have just had to do with money. It's very possible. And that does make sense. But he just kind of comes across like maybe someone that you don't want to mess up in practice because he's probably going to be a certain way with you.
The only vibe I pick up from Joey B is the my dad shutting down the youth ski camp to open a new resort kind of vibes. You know what I mean? Joe B gives me the vibes.
Those are your people, so you would know about that. But I mean, you know.
Joey Burrow gives me the vibes of like the bad guy in every coming of age 1980s movies.
Right. And I want to see if that's real or not. And it may not be. He may be as cool as he's depicted by a lot of people, or he's that guy. And which is more interesting? Him being the 80s villain is definitely more interesting.
I mean, probably. I don't get that vibe, and I got people who reported on him when he was down at LSU.
His name was Chad in every movie he was in.
Why you think we call Chads Chads on the internet, man? I'm in for Hard Knocks. I'm in for Hard Knocks in and off season. I am intrigued by the Caleb Williams stuff. I am intrigued by all of the drama from the four teams in the AFC North. I will give the NFL this. If nothing else, they do a pretty good job of figuring out how to market players, which is something that Major League Baseball and the NBA should do a better job studying and figuring out how they do it. They just took a show that, at least for me, had been dead for a couple of years and got me interested in it just like that with one easy change. I'm intrigued to see where it goes. Texas said, I could care less about Hard Knocks, never watched Hard Knocks, never will watch Hard Knocks, and I don't like the players mic'd up in any sport. Why, out of curiosity? Because I got to tell you, players being mic'd up is one of my favorite things.
The Real Housewives of whatever, do you text her? Just curious.
No, I think there's a lot of people, and I'm not saying that this is where this texter's coming from, but there's a lot of people in the shut up and dribble camp. I don't pay attention to you for your personality. Really, I pay attention to you because you play basketball.
I did not get that out of that. I don't know. I think sometimes you just want to see the players play, and if drama comes into it and they become more real, it's less about the sport and it's more about the person.
And that's fine. Like, that's a philosophical difference. To me, I look at the players and they are people too. I'm intrigued in how they tick and who they are. But I don't know. Texter, follow up on that text. I'm curious as to what you think. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Texter said, I could care less about Hard Knocks, never watch Hard Knocks, never will watch Hard Knocks, and I don't like players mic'd up in any sport. I asked why, and the texter said, because it makes sports into drama episodes. Like Lonzo said, I want to watch the competition, not hear the drama. It's enough listening to commentators. And here's my thought in response to that texter. And I do appreciate the text. Thanks for being a part of the show. The show is better when you guys are on it.
Thanks for answering back.
Yeah, and sincerely, thanks for answering back. I appreciate it. Again, the conversation is more fun.
We both appreciate it.
Sincerely. The conversation is always more fun when you guys are involved in it. So, I find that interesting. Predominantly because I'm the exact opposite. We get told in this industry. I still get told in this industry. Do you know what works in sports talk radio? Historically, what works above all else?
Whatever it is, you're wrong.
Human interest. Like when two guys fight on the radio. Okay? Human interest.
That's debatable.
No, it's not. You're wrong.
No,
I'm right.
I'm always right.
No, you're definitely wrong most of the time.
I would scream right now, but I'll go into a coughing fit because that's the other thing that you're supposed to do.
The reality is that human interest drives people more than anything else. Part of the reason that, and I will stand with you on this one, and Texter, I'm not a reality TV guy, okay? Reality TV doesn't do it, mainly because the majority of it's not reality.
Are documentaries reality TV?
No, it's documentaries.
Yeah, but they're, okay. I think they're kind of the same thing.
Documentaries, I think, more are documenting what has happened. Reality TV is here's what is actively happening in the lives of whoever. And you cannot, as much as I would like to, you cannot say that reality television has been anything but a massive success in this country. Because by and large, we like our drama. Now, I absolutely get what you are saying, Texter. I absolutely get what you were saying. That you want to watch athletes be athletes and do athletic things. You want to watch sports. And for the record, so do I. So do I. I want to watch the best. If you offered me two leagues, you offered me a league of pick your sport that is comprised of the most elite athletes in the world, but they are all entirely boring as. Or you offered me another league that had really, really good athletes, not the most elite, but really, really good athletes. Playing really, really good ball, but they're entertaining is, honestly, I'm going to take the League of Elite Athletes first.
But isn't, like, hockey the former of what you talked about? You don't know a lot about hockey players. You just watch them, and they're entertaining on the ice.
I am going to say no. I am going to say that is a result of where we live. Hockey's just not big here. Okay, it's just not. As much as I want it to be, as much as I push it, by the way, Florida-Edmonton game number game five tonight back in Florida. I'm going to tell you right now, I have already let the fiance know, don't make plans tonight. Game five, Florida is winning the NHL Stanley Cup tonight. I feel as confident in that as I did in Boston winning the NBA Finals last night.
What if she makes plans in a place where it just happens to be on?
If she makes plans around the hockey game, I'm all in. Okay? If she goes, hey, I'd like to go out to the bar tonight. All right, cool. I'm good with that. So, I would take of those two leagues, the league that has better players with less drama. However, I don't know. I like being able to gain an introspective. I like being able to gain some level of knowledge and, to me at least, appreciation for the reality that is behind these things that I watch. Because, yes, I'm going to tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. when the Panthers play, or every Sunday at 3:30 when the Saints play, or whatever it might be, and I'm going to absolutely root for my team or the teams that I cover or whatever the case might be. But, yes, there is something intriguing to me about understanding the stories that led to those points.
I wonder if age has anything to do with it, because before the internet, and the internet has a lot to do with it, we didn't know a lot of things about a lot of people. And I thought the intrigue of, oh man, that guy's a great player. I don't know anything about him. I wonder what he's like. I'd rather have the intrigue. I don't want to, because if I know that guy's on his fifth wife and he's abusive and shouldn't be in the league anymore, then that takes away from the game. And I know that's head in the sand maybe a little bit, but at the same time, then you're no longer watching for the game. You're watching for, I know this about this person, this about this person, this about this person. Yeah, I know they scored a touchdown, but that guy, that's not a good guy, so I can't root for that guy.
I think there's a couple of things that come along with that. The first is, I think that is just as important to know. Because let's keep it a buck here. Athletes, professional athletes, high top level athletes, have only been held accountable for their actions in recent memory because we know about it, right? We only learned about the Ray Rices of the world because that availability is there and that type of information isn't just available, but it spreads like wildfire whenever something like that happens. And so I think there is some level of, I think there's some level of importance to it, because yes, we can watch and we go, yeah, I dislike that guy. That person can also be more easily held accountable because we as fans can genuinely push back against that. We can push back on those types of athletes being allowed to maintain their status and their success. Doesn't mean it's always going to come to anything. Am I right, Deshaun Watson? But you get the point. I think the second thing is, and I think this is why that kind of stuff floats around as well, because though you can't have a face if you don't have a heel. If everybody's a face, you know what you have? A boring wrestling company. If you have faces and you can put them up against great heels, it's more fun. Why do you think we have rivalries? Because having that guy that we can beat up on, that team that we can hate, that team that we can pour, because let's keep it a buck. We are human beings. We all have negative emotions. We all have negative emotions, and sometimes, as much as some people are going to tell you this isn't true, sometimes it feels good to get them out. Sometimes it feels good to get them out. You ever been to a rage room before?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
We'll say Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on The Fan Upstate.
Have you ever been to a real rage room?
Dude, I've seen you look pretty raging.
Have you ever been to a real rage room? That's a genuine question.
No.
We're going to a rage room.
No.
Team field trip to a rage room.
Because it would be like being back home, and it would just seem normal to me. A rage room would not, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but when you're surrounded by rage growing up, a rage room wouldn't do anything for me.
All right. Well, then for the rest of us who, I will say, with the respect that I intended to have, fortunately didn't have that experience. And for those of us specifically that have been told you bottle up those emotions, you don't show those emotions don't go that way, to be able to go pick up a sledgehammer and take out a TV and get it all out is great. Well, when I line up against an athlete,
I could do that in my yard. No one would see it.
When I line up against an athlete or a team that I don't like, I get to be that guy for a minute. I get to be the bad guy for a minute. I get to get that out for just a minute, and it feels wonderful. So to have all of these different reasons to have a more, I'm going to use the word intimate relationship with athletes aside from I see them compete for a few minutes or a few hours any given day of the week. But to actually know who they are and what they stand for and what they believe. Kyrie Irving, Bryson DeChambeau. We have had a ton of conversations about these guys over the past couple of months or years. Why? Redemption arcs. Has it not been, and maybe it's just me, but if you're a golf guy, has the redemption arc of Bryson DeChambeau not been a ton of fun? Why was it fun? Because we all used to pile on the guy, and now everybody seems to love him. Kyrie Irving was the butt of years of jokes. And then this year, he came out, and he debuted this new Kyrie Irving. This Kyrie Irving who doesn't go on podcast and say dumb things, he goes on podcast and shows the world that he does a pretty kick-ass Bane impression. And then last night, you may not have seen it because it was late at night and some of you went to bed. Last night when that game ended, Kyrie Irving walked to the tunnel and you know what he did? He stood there and he waited for every member of the Dallas Mavericks roster and coaching staff and team training staff to come by and he dapped them all up and he said thanks and congratulations on a hell of a season before he left the court. It's been fun talking about the redemption arc of Kyrie Irving. Why? Because the people stories are what makes sports fun to most people. It does not mean that I don't want to see the highest level of athletics. I have watched people that I actively dislike as people because they are great athletes. Just like I've watched people who aren't great athletes, but I actively like them as people play their games as well. Because those emotions run that spectrum we talked about earlier in the show. And so because of that, I like this Hard Knock stuff, and I like that we're getting more athletes, and I like that we're getting more teams. And oh, by the way, I think especially for the perspective of the in-season Hard Knocks, this seems more team-focused than it seems individual-focused, right? Like, it'll dial in on Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they're competing for QB1 and all that. But isn't the drama there really about Pittsburgh trying to get this right? Like, to me, it is. So, I don't know. Texas said, real question for Rob, since you're talking about it. When Clemson is not playing South Carolina, do you, in fact, root for Clemson? Yes. I root for Clemson. I root for South Carolina. I root for the Panthers. I root for the Hurricanes.
What kind of needy question is that? Yeah, but when they're not, do you root for Clemson then? Do you?
The answer is yes, and I'll tell you why as we got to run to a break here.
Wow.
I root for Clemson when they're playing anytime. Because if they win, I do better. This is not a secret. I have not held this back from you guys. If Clemson wins, and I was told this when I got here. Hey, yo, if Clemson loses, Clemson fans go MIA. They disappear. You won't see the flags. You won't see the tiger paws. You won't see the prints. You won't see the orange shirts everywhere. If they lose, they go away. I need you guys not to go away. So I need them to win. So yes, I root for them to win every week because it would mean that on Monday, I'm going to get phone calls and texts from you guys dunking on whoever you played that make my job easier and make me look better. That is not, I don't hold that back from you. The answer is I pull for every team that we have any connection to because it makes my job easier and I get paid more. And I am, and this is true, a very big fan of that. You know who else gets paid more and makes my job easier? Lonzo.
My next band name is going to be Napping in the Rage Room. It's a killer name. It really is. The Atlanta Braves took a 2-1 win over the Detroit Tigers yesterday. Max Fried gave up one run and four hits in 5.1 innings, while Deibel Hernandez earned his first win in his fourth appearance for Atlanta. The Braves' winning run came in the bottom of the eighth on an Ozzie Albies solo shot. In the NHL finals, the Florida Panthers will attempt to win the Stanley Cup tonight at 8. Or, you know, probably like closer to 10:30 or 11, and need just one more win to put away the Edmonton Oilers. Florida enters the contest as slight favorites. I don't know if you knew this, but you need to know it. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our spanking brand new local show. Very, very new. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
Texas said, I could care less about Hard Knocks, never watch Hard Knocks, never will watch Hard Knocks, and I don't like players mic'd up in any sport. I asked why, and the texter said, because it makes sports into drama episodes. Like Lonzo said, I want to watch the competition, not hear the drama. It's enough listening to commentators. And Here's my thought in response to that texter. And I do appreciate the text. Thanks for being a part of the show. The show is better when you guys are on it.
Thanks for answering back.
Yeah, appreciate and sincerely, thanks for answering back. I appreciate it. Again, the conversation is more fun.
We both appreciate it.
Sincerely. The conversation is always more fun when you guys are involved in it. So I find that interesting predominantly because I'm the exact opposite. We get told in this industry, I still get told in this industry, do you know what works in sports talk radio? Historically, what works above all else?
Whatever it is, you're wrong.
Human interest, like when two guys fight on the radio, okay? Human interest.
That's debatable.
No, it's not. You're wrong.
No,
I'm right.
I'm always right.
No, you're definitely wrong most of the time.
I would scream right now, but I'll go into a coughing fit because that's the other thing that you're supposed to do.
The reality is that human interest drives people more than anything else. Part of the reason that, and I will stand with you on this one and texter, I'm not a reality TV guy. Okay, reality TV doesn't do it, mainly because the majority of it's not reality.
Are documentaries reality TV?
No, it's documentaries.
Yeah, but they're okay. I think they're kind of the same thing.
Documentaries, I think, more are documenting what has happened. Reality TV is here's what is actively happening in the lives of whoever. And you cannot, as much as I would like to, you cannot say that reality television has been anything but a massive success in this country. Because by and large, we like our drama. Now, I absolutely get what you are saying, Texter. I absolutely get what you were saying. That you want to watch athletes be athletes and do athletic things. You want to watch sports. And for the record, so do I. So do I. I want to watch the best. If you offered me two leagues, you offered me a league of pick your sport that is comprised of the most elite athletes in the world, but they are all entirely boring as... Or you offered me another league that had really, really good athletes, not the most elite, but really, really good athletes playing really, really good ball, but they're entertaining as... Honestly, I'm going to take the League of Elite Athletes first.
But isn't, like, hockey the former of what you talked about? You don't know a lot about hockey players. You just watch them, and they're entertaining on the ice.
I am going to say no. I am going to say that is a result of where we live. Hockey's just not big here. Okay? It's just not. As much as I want it to be, as much as I push it, by the way, Florida-Edmonton, game number game five tonight, back in Florida. I'm going to tell you right now, I have already let the fiance say no. Don't make plans tonight. Game five. Florida is winning the NHL Stanley Cup tonight. I feel as confident in that as I did in Boston winning the NBA Finals last night.
What if she makes plans in a place where it just happens to be on?
If she makes plans around the hockey game, I'm all in. Okay? If she goes, hey, I'd like to go out to the bar tonight. All right, cool. I'm good with that. So, I would take, of those two leagues, the league that has better players with less drama. However, I don't know. I like being able to gain an introspective. I like being able to gain some level of knowledge, and to me at least, appreciation for the reality that is behind these things that I watch. Because yes, I'm going to tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. when the Panthers play, or every Sunday at 3:30 when the Saints play, or whatever it might be. And I'm going to absolutely root for my team or the teams that I cover or whatever the case might be. But yes, there is something intriguing to me about understanding the stories that led to those points.
I wonder if age has anything to do with it, because before the internet, and the internet has a lot to do with it, we didn't know a lot of things about a lot of people. And I thought the intrigue of, oh man, that guy's a great player. I don't know anything about him. I wonder what he's like. I'd rather have the intrigue. I don't want to, because if I know that guy's on his fifth wife and he's abusive and shouldn't be in the league anymore, then that takes away from the game. And I know that's head in the sand maybe a little bit, but at the same time, then you're no longer watching for the game. You're watching for, I know this about this person, this about this person, this about this person. Yeah, I know they scored a touchdown, but that guy, that's not a good guy, so I can't root for that guy.
I think there's a couple of things that come along with that. The first is, I think that is just as important to know. Because let's keep it a buck here. Athletes, professional athletes, high top level athletes, have only been held accountable for their actions in recent memory because we know about it, right? We only learned about the Ray Rices of the world because that availability is there and that type of information isn't just available, but it spreads like wildfire whenever something like that happens. And so I think there is some level of, importance to it, because yes, we can watch and we go, yeah, I dislike that guy. That person can also be more easily held accountable because we as fans can genuinely push back against that. We can push back on those types of athletes being allowed to maintain their status and their success. Doesn't mean it's always going to come to anything. Am I right, Deshaun Watson? But you get the point. I think the second thing is, and I think this is why that kind of stuff floats around as well, because though you can't have a face if you don't have a heel. If everybody's a face, you know what you have? A boring wrestling company. If you have faces and you can put them up against great heels, it's more fun. Why do you think we have rivalries? Because having that guy that we can beat up on, that team that we can hate, that team that we can pour, because let's keep it a buck. We are human beings. We all have negative emotions. We all have negative emotions, and sometimes, as much as some people are going to tell you this isn't true, sometimes it feels good to get them out. Sometimes it feels good to get them out. You ever been to a rage room before?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
We'll say Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on the Fan Upstate.
Have you ever been to a real rage room?
Dude, I've seen you look pretty raging.
Have you ever been to a real rage room? That's a genuine question.
No.
We're going to a rage room.
No.
Team field trip to a rage room.
Because it would be like being back home, and it would just seem normal to me. A rage room would not, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but when you're surrounded by rage growing up, a rage room wouldn't do anything for me.
All right. Well, then for the rest of us who I will say with the respect that I intended to have, fortunately didn't have that experience. And for those of us specifically that have been told you bottle up those emotions, you don't show those emotions don't go that way. To be able to go pick up a sledgehammer and take out a TV, get it all out is great. Well, when I line up against an athlete,
I could do that in my yard. No one would see it.
When I line up against an athlete or a team that I don't like, I get to be that guy for a minute. I get to be the bad guy for a minute. I get to get that out for just a minute, and it feels wonderful. So to have all of these different reasons to have a more, I'm going to use the word intimate relationship with athletes aside from I see them compete for a few minutes or a few hours any given day of the week. But to actually know who they are and what they stand for and what they believe. Kyrie Irving, Bryson DeChambeau. We have had a ton of conversations about these guys over the past couple of months or years. Why? Redemption arcs. Has it not been, and maybe it's just me, but if you're a golf guy, has the redemption arc of Bryson DeChambeau not been a ton of fun? Why was it fun? Because we all used to pile on the guy, and now everybody seems to love him. Kyrie Irving was the butt of years of jokes. And then this year, he came out, and he debuted this new Kyrie Irving. This Kyrie Irving who doesn't go on podcast and say dumb things. He goes on podcast and shows the world that he does a pretty kick-ass Bane impression. And then last night, you may not have seen it because it was late at night and some of you went to bed. Last night when that game ended, Kyrie Irving walked to the tunnel and you know what he did? He stood there and he waited for every member of the Dallas Mavericks roster and coaching staff and team training staff to come by and he dapped them all up and he said thanks and congratulations on a hell of a season before he left the court. It's been fun talking about the redemption arc of Kyrie Irving. Why? Because the people stories are what make sports fun to most people. It does not mean that I don't want to see the highest level of athletics. I have watched people that I actively dislike as people because they are great athletes. Just like I've watched people who aren't great athletes, but I actively like them as people play their games as well. Because those emotions run that spectrum we talked about earlier in the show. And so because of that, I like this Hard Knock stuff, and I like that we're getting more athletes, and I like that we're getting more teams. And oh, by the way, I think especially for the perspective of the in-season Hard Knocks, this seems more team-focused than it seems individual-focused, right? Like, it'll dial in on Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and they're competing for QB1 and all that. But isn't the drama there really about Pittsburgh trying to get this right? Like, to me, it is. So, I don't know. Texas said, real question for Rob, since you're talking about it. When Clemson is not playing South Carolina, do you, in fact, root for Clemson? Yes. I root for Clemson. I root for South Carolina. I root for the Panthers. I root for the Hurricanes.
What kind of needy question is that? Yeah, but when they're not, do you root for Clemson then? Do you?
The answer is yes, and I'll tell you why as we got to run to a break here.
Wow.
I root for Clemson when they're playing anytime. Because if they win, I do better. This is not a secret. I have not held this back from you guys. If Clemson wins, and I was told this when I got here. Hey, yo, if Clemson loses, Clemson fans go MIA. They disappear. You won't see the flags. You won't see the tiger paws. You won't see the prints. You won't see the orange shirts everywhere. If they lose, they go away. I need you guys not to go away. So I need them to win. So, yes, I root for them to win every week because it would mean that on Monday, I'm going to get phone calls and texts from you guys dunking on whoever you played that make my job easier and make me look better. That is not, I don't hold that back from you. The answer is I pull for every team that we have any connection to because it makes my job easier and I get paid more. And I am, and this is true, a very big fan of that. You know who else gets paid more and makes my job easier? Lonzo.
My next band name is going to be Napping in the Rage Room. It's a killer name. It really is. The Atlanta Braves took a 2-1 win over the Detroit Tigers yesterday. Max Fried gave up one run and four hits in 5.1 innings, while Deibel Hernandez earned his first win in his fourth appearance for Atlanta. The Braves' winning run came in the bottom of the eighth on an Ozzie Albies solo shot. In the NHL finals, the Florida Panthers will attempt to win the Stanley Cup tonight at 8, or, you know, probably like closer to 10:30 or 11, and need just one more win to put away the Edmonton Oilers. Florida enters the contest as slight favorites. I don't know if you knew this, but you need to know it. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our spanking brand new local show. Very, very new. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.